Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 6th of July. Our guest the first half hour of this hour says, I don't think there's a precedent for what's going on in Wisconsin. I don't think there's ever been a case where pretty much everyone has been subject to a recall attempt at one time on both sides. That is really amazing. 9 total recalls in the state of Wisconsin. 6 will have primaries, and some of these primaries are coming up pretty soon. The 6 districts in which Senate Republican members face recalls have July 12th primaries. There are no primaries for the Democratic Senate seats, but we thought we would get a perspective on why this is really amazing, as our first guest will say, and more information about when and where the primaries are. The second half hour of the program, we'll have 2 guests. Professor Gary Moncrief is joining us the first part of this hour, internship director and professor in the Department of Political Science at Boise State. He has published, 4 books and more than 50 journal articles on various aspects of state politics, especially on state legislatures. And he says in the 103 years since Oregon first adopted the recall process, only 13 state legislators have been recalled nationwide. So this is a rather historic event. Patrick Marley will join us later this hour, Madison Bureau reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, to look at where these recall elections are, how much money has been raised, if there's been any polling on how people are doing in their various races. So that's our hour. Should be a good one. Number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you'd like to send an email, that's okay. And that address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Professor Gary Moncrief, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Kathleen.
So there just hasn't been anything like this, huh?
No, this is a very extraordinary event. We've never seen this many people trying to be recalled at the same time.
Why do you think it's happening?
Well, I think it's obviously because of the specific issue that's involved in Wisconsin and the rather dramatic policy shift that has happened there. I mean, Wisconsin is one of only 2 states after this last election that basically shifted from complete Democratic control to complete Republican control, and I think you had a big policy swing because of that. So I think that's the major reason.
Give us a little bit of history here. How long have recalls been in effect? How many states have recalls?
Well, they've been in effect for about 100 years, roughly now, as part of the populist and especially the progressive reform movements that were around the turn of the last century. There are about 18 or 19 states that allow recall of state officials. Many more states, somewhere around probably 35 or so, allow the recall of local officials. But one of the things that's really interesting about this, Kathleen, is that the rules for recalls are very different from one state to another. And there's actually only been 5 states in which state legislators have ever been recalled, and Wisconsin is one of those states.
And why is it that so many more states allow local recalls but not state recalls?
Probably because state officials make the rules. I don't really know.
Of course.
Recalls are very common. But they're much more common at the local level than they are at the state level.
So in Wisconsin, the rules are that petitioners have to gather enough signatures to equal 25% of the votes cast in the most recent race for governor in the district of the targeted legislator. The recalls more difficult? Are the standards higher to meet in the other states?
Well, it differs from one state to another, but 25% is actually a fairly common number. They actually range from about 15% in, I think that's the state of Washington, up to 40% in Kansas. But the thing about the Wisconsin law is that it's 25% of the votes in the gubernatorial election that were cast in that particular district. It's not the percentage of votes cast in the specific state legislative election district, if that makes any sense. And that actually is a higher standard because some people will vote in the governor's race and not vote in the state legislative race.
I see.
And I think there's only one other state that has that particular stipulation where we're talking about tagging it to the votes cast in the governor's race in that district rather than the state legislative race. So, it's really a higher standard than 25% in that sense.
I think you said this, so of course it must be true. But is it true that only 13 state legislators have been recalled nationwide?
That's true. There's around, I think, 20 or 21 state legislators have been recall efforts that have been on the ballot, and only 13 times have they been successful. So it's a very difficult thing to do.
So this is really an extreme measure.
Yes, it's definitely something we don't see every day. In fact, the last two legislators to get recalled in the nation were both in Wisconsin.
Right. They were, who were they?
It was in 1996, George Petak,
right, for the county stadium test.
In 2003. There have been some efforts since then in other states, but they weren't successful.
Mm-hmm. Are people looking at this nationally, and particularly those states that have recall elections, to see how successful it might be, how many people vote, and have plans on perhaps using it in their state?
Well, yeah, a lot of this is just state-specific. I think everybody's watching Wisconsin for a couple of reasons, but one of them is just the magnitude of this. And secondly is there will be some momentum on one side or the other, because as I understand it, this is likely not to stop with the Wisconsin Senate, but there are plans in the works, obviously, recall efforts against the governor and probably the members of the assembly as well, once the time frame kicks in for them. So I think a lot of people are watching it for that reason, just in terms of the momentum that's going to be followed in Wisconsin. And it has the additional issue in Wisconsin of potentially flipping control of the Senate. And that's a very rare thing in a recall election, because usually you're talking about a recall of a single individual.
Well,
it's not going to flip the chamber control usually.
It's pretty amazing, Professor Moncrief, how many different battles that are essentially over the same thing we have going on in Minnesota, in other states, and certainly nationally, that we're trying to figure out government spending, what's the role of unions, the public workforce, and it will also be, in some measure, a large measure, I would think, a lot of the conversation for the presidential race.
Yeah, well, especially the former there, I think. And again, I think the reason for that has a lot to do with the fact that you have what we political science refer to as unified control. That's both chambers and the governor being controlled by the same party. And after the 2010 election, the Republican Party became the dominant party in terms of unified control in a lot of states, many more than they had been in a long time. And so I think that's a large part of that, is that you have this essentially control of government has shifted in many states, and therefore there's a big, fairly substantial policy shift.
Mm-hmm. We're living here, so we've lived through all of the protests and many, many news stories on all of this, but it is hard to believe that there won't be a fairly large voter turnout in these recall elections. What's the history? Are people usually very upset on one side or the other and go to the polls in equal numbers? Do we have a historical perspective?
Well, I think generally recall elections are held at odd times, obviously. They're not held during the regular election cycle. And so turnout tends to be a bit lower, but I don't think that's going to be the case in Wisconsin, at least not from what I can read and view from the media there. It sounds like there's obviously a tremendous amount of attention to this, and it appears to be a huge amount of money being spent, not only by the candidates, but by a lot of independent expenditure organizations as well. And so that's got to make the turnout more considerable than we would normally see.
A lot of national money coming in?
It appears that way. I mean, you've got, I keep reading about Club for Growth, and obviously the national unions are involved and perhaps some independent business organizations as well. So I think your next guest can speak to this much better than I can, but it certainly appears to me that there's a great deal of money in these races compared to what you would normally find.
Mm-hmm. And we've got 9 total recalls. 6 of them have primaries, so you got to vote twice in those, and there are different dates for these primaries. Does that make it pretty confusing for the electorate, and is it unusual in recalls for a party to run fake candidates in the other party's primary?
Yeah, this is unusual on a number of levels, Kathleen. First of all, in most states, when there's a recall election, the recall is just a yes or no. It's an up or down vote on the individual, so there's nobody running against them. But in Wisconsin and a few other states, you actually have what amounts to a challenger to the incumbent. So that's a rather unusual format. There's only, I think, five of the states that do it that way out of the 18 or 19 states that have recall elections. And then this situation where you have primary election, prior to the recall general election is rather extraordinary. And I've never heard of the kind of tactic that's being used apparently this year in Wisconsin where parties are putting up essentially their own candidates in a primary just to buy time. And I think the reason for that, obviously, is because this is such an extraordinary situation where you have so many people being recalled at the same time.
And the Republicans are saying that it gives them more time. Does it make a difference? Right. It is a little bit more time, but it's not a lot.
Well, it's a couple of weeks, and when you're talking about fundraising, when you're talking about trying to organize a campaign, and as I understand it, when you're still trying to pass some things within the legislature, I think that was the strategy there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very extraordinary. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, the whole thing is extraordinary. That's surely true. In most states, you say when you vote yes or no on the recall, if you vote yes and the person is out of office, then what do they just do, have a special election?
Yeah, again, it varies by state, but the most common occurrence would be a special election held after that. There are a few states, including my home state of Idaho, in which actually the governor gets to appoint the replacement. So, different states have different rules here. And we might point out that the Wisconsin situation not only involves a fairly high standard of 25%, but also a very short time period for gathering signatures on a petition, which is only 60 days. In many states, it's 90 days, 120 days, up to, in a few states, 150 to 180 days.
Oh, my.
So the hurdle in Wisconsin is more substantial than what you'd find in most states, and that makes this whole process even more extraordinary that you were able Wisconsinites were able to get that many recall elections going at one time. It's just an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. And when you say that this all grew out of the progressive movement around the turn of the 20th century, why did the progressives movement get this going?
Well, I think it had a lot to do with a move toward greater participation among the general public. I mean, this was a period in which there was a lot of animosity toward elected officials generally and toward state legislatures specifically. And it wasn't just the recall that comes about at this point. It's also the initiative process, which is very prevalent in the West and in a few other states. And that was part of this, as well as some other things like direct election of U.S. senators, the right to vote for women. There's a whole package of things that are associated with that progressive reform movement, and the recall was part of that.
We're going to welcome phone calls, and we'll take them in a moment. Our guest the first half hour is Gary Moncrief. He is professor in the Department of Political Science at Boise State and has published a number of books and written extensively on state politics, state legislatures specifically. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The second half hour of the program, Patrick Marley will be joining us, Madison Bureau reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and we'll look specifically at where the recalls are, when the recalls are taking place. There has been talk about redistricting, too, and if there were a redistricting plan put in place by the legislature in Wisconsin in the next, July 12 is pretty soon, isn't it? In the next few days, would that go into effect for any of these recall elections? I'm not sure what the answer is to that. So to you in a moment, our phones are filled. Our email is open, talk@wpr.org. Just keep the number in mind, though, because eventually you ought to be able to get through, 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now, and let's start with Jeff in Milwaukee. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Your guest mentioned two states only political influence or domination kind of flipped totally from one party to the other. And I think that's the result of extremely malicious propaganda machine and demonizing Obama and the Democrats as socialists or communists, and all the shouting down a real and fair dialogue at the town hall meetings in 2009 and 2010. And I think the super wealthy, if they were paying really their share of taxes, we could afford a national health care system, and individuals probably wouldn't have such high premiums in paying there for health care. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Professor Moncrief.
Well, I guess what I would say to that is that I think your caller is correct in that the level of discourse or the nature of the discourse in politics has certainly changed in the last few years. There's clearly a much greater policy difference between the two parties, and both parties seem to be engendering this kind of conflict. And so on that score, I'd certainly agree.
So let's talk about the voters and a little bit more about why a lot of states decided to vote in a different direction, and as a result, we have in Wisconsin something that's rather unusual for there to be complete control. There's either divided. Usually, there has been complete control by one party or the other, but it happened in so many places. What was it people were saying, and do you think that they're in the same place now that they were during the midterms?
Well, these things tend to, we've seen some fairly substantial electoral swings in the last few years. I mean, in 2006, we saw a pretty substantial swing toward Democrats. The Democrats picked up something like 350 seats nationwide in terms of state legislatures during that period. And then in 2008, they cemented that by picking up about another 150. And now we see the swing back the other way. And the Republicans picked up, well over 500 seats. I think it was over 600 seats this time. So in the last few electoral cycles, what we've actually seen is much more of a kind of pendulum swing back and forth than we tend to usually see in American politics. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One of them is just this rather clear difference in policy stance from the two parties. I mean, it's a much clearer difference than we normally see in American politics between the two parties. We're in one of those periods where there's a very real difference between the two parties. And the other thing is the parties are both much better organized than they were 15 or 20 years ago, much better at getting out the vote, rallying their troops. The organization levels of state parties has really increased a lot in the last generation or so, or at least 15 or 20 years or so. And I think we can't forget the effect of technology here. I think that the social media makes it much easier to rally people, and when one issue gets picked up, it tends to kind of spread through through the social media much more rapidly.
We need to pause for a moment. We tried before, but it was not effective, so let's try again, and we'll return to take more phone calls. It's not working. So we will go to more phone calls. Gene in Wauwatosa. Hi, Gene.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is regarding the fake candidates.
Yes.
It's apparently unprecedented, as your guest said. It's my understanding that they're not even actively campaigning. Three of them are over 80 years old, which, nothing against octogenarians, but so if they're not actively campaigning, and it's really just a big waste of money, isn't it? These primaries cost like $50,000 to $75,000 for each. So I don't think of their fiscal government on the Republican side is all that honest.
You want to comment, Professor Moncrief?
Well, again, I think your next guest is going to be able to speak to the situation in Wisconsin better than I can. But your caller is quite correct. There are a number of these races that aren't really races at all. They're essentially placeholders to force a primary for the reasons that we talked about previously. And again, I've never seen this happen before. This is a very interesting phenomenon.
They aren't doing very much campaigning. There's
no doubt
about that.
No, and if you look at the campaign finance reports, and I just had an opportunity to see a little bit of it, it's quite clear that in many of these cases they're not serious candidates in the sense that they don't expect to win and they haven't gathered much money. Whereas, the true Democrat, if you will, within those races, has garnered in many cases over several hundred thousand dollars. So, again, your caller is quite correct. These are essentially placeholders to force this primary in order to buy time for other purposes.
We were talking about this in the office yesterday. What would happen if one of those fake candidates won?
Yeah, that would be an interesting situation.
Heaven help us. They will have another layer of complexity on all of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Gene, thanks for your call. Jim in Irma. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for the program, Kathleen. I was visited a couple weeks ago. We had a story here in northern Wisconsin by a former state senator who vacations up here, and inevitably we talk about politics. And he's convinced that, and I'm glad the professor explained the rule system versus the laws and determining recalls, but that it's just going to change the rules here after this round of recalls so that Governor Walker isn't eligible to be recalled. He's just used the example that he could say something like, you have to be convicted of a felon while in office to be recalled or some such thing. That they're just going to change the rules, and people that want to recall Walker will just have to wait for the next election, I guess.
Yeah, and actually, there are some states of those 18 or 19 that allow statewide recalls or recall of state officials. There are I forget the number, but I think it's six or seven states that have specific requirements that have something to do with malfeasance in office. But most states actually do not have such a requirement. So somebody can be recalled on the basis of a policy decision or some other matter that has nothing to do with an illegal act or even an unethical act. So, and again, this varies a lot by state.
Anything else, Jim? Thanks very much for your call. Do you think that, I'm looking for some broader statement that all of this is saying to us. Are we saying to people, no matter what side you're on, that you need to talk to us before certain policies are made? Do you need to compromise? Because we have some things that people are going to be upset about. Obviously, a number of people in Wisconsin were upset about what happened with collective bargaining. In Minnesota, they've shut down the government, for heaven's sake. What is that saying? Does it say anything to politicians?
Well, it does. I think the first thing it says is that there are groups out there that are beginning to see the use of the recall as a kind of preemptive measure. For example, in Michigan in 2007, the Michigan, I think it's called the Taxpayers Alliance, essentially was training people about how to start a recall. And what they were saying, basically, the legislature is, if you raise taxes, we will begin recalls against you. And we have seen that kind of preemptive threat, if you will, in California. In Louisiana, there were a whole handful of legislators who were about to get recalled because they had raised a legislative pay. And the only thing that saved that recall effort was the fact that the governor wound up vetoing the bill. So, it seems to me that in the last 2 years, we're starting to see this tactic more where various organized groups are saying, if you don't play by our rules, then we will initiate a recall. And that's a very different kind of operation than we've seen before. Generally, in the past, it's been difficult to do that because it's so hard to get a recall effected. That is, it's so hard to actually get it on the ballot. And even if you get it on the ballot, there's no guarantee that you're going to win. But Wisconsin has kind of changed the rules of that this year by getting so many of these recalls on the ballot. I think some other groups are going to look at this a bit more.
And what will that do to our democracy? Will it jam it up?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good thing at all. If people are being recalled, or the threats of the recall on this basis, it makes things much more difficult. It makes it harder to as you said before, for the parties to work together.
Mm-hmm. But maybe the parties also need to realize that they have to work together so that they won't be recalled.
Well, one would hope.
I know. Well, it'll be interesting. Do you want to make any predictions about what may happen in Wisconsin, considering where the money is coming from, considering who's running? Do you think that there will be success here?
I have no idea. I'm guessing there will be some success, but I don't think it's going to be unilateral. But again, I think you have people there who know much more about the specifics on the ground in Wisconsin, and it'll be really interesting to hear what they have to say in the next half hour.
Yes. Thank you so much for being with us. I think we may be in touch once these are over.
It is my pleasure. Thanks,
Thank you. Professor Gary Moncrief, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at Boise State University and an expert on state legislatures. He has written books about them, state politics, and also many articles. We're going to talk to Patrick Marley now. He is the Madison Bureau reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to look at all of these issues. Will there be redistricting that will affect recall elections? Which recall elections are coming up very soon on July 12th? Which ones are August 9th? Which ones are August 16th? What about these candidates that aren't real? What about the motivation to go and vote? We'll be talking about all of that with Patrick and welcoming more of your phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning.
Well, they're almost here, huh?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, and quite a few of them. Can you, it gets a little bit confusing here. Can you give me just an outline of how many recalls are coming up on July 12th? What's happening on the 9th of August? What's happening on the 16th of August?
Sure. So July 12th, we have six primaries for recall candidates. There's six Republicans who are facing recall elections. The Democrats opposing them all have protest candidates. So these are people who have ties to the Republican Party who were running simply to buy more time for the Republican incumbents to campaign, pushing off the general election into August. So we've got those on July 12th. On July 19th, we have a general election for Dave Hansen, a Democratic senator. That will be the end of that process for his race. Then we have two primaries for two other Democratic senators. There are Republican primaries. Those are genuine primaries with people actually vying for the candidacy.
So it gets a little bit confusing.
It's real confusing.
Yeah.
So the process in Wisconsin is that when you get enough signatures to have a recall election, there's an election scheduled 6 weeks later, six Tuesdays later, and that would be the general election unless there's more than one candidate on one side, and then that election becomes a primary, and the general election is pushed out by a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the Republicans said they didn't feel like they had enough time to campaign, so they fielded these fake Democrats to run in the Democratic primary, therefore creating a primary and then pushing back the general election for a month.
How many people are likely to vote in those primaries?
Nobody knows. I think that's one of the things that's really hard for the campaigns is that nobody has a turnout model for something like this. They can look to spring elections or special elections, but, state lawmakers aren't used to running campaigns in the middle of summer, particularly in the midst of, having just finished these budget deliberations. So I don't think anybody has a good handle on what the voting population will be.
And is it a big expense to have these, Patrick?
The primaries for what we've calculated by talking to local election clerks, is that to have the six primaries that are required only because of the fake candidates will cost in excess of $400,000+.
That's a chunk of change.
Yeah, and that's borne by property taxpayers. I mean, those are costs that the state doesn't pick up, but is left to local governments.
And what's the story with redistricting, which seems to be kind of out there? Is there a plan to do redistricting, and could that have an effect on these elections?
I think that redistricting is likely. Leaders, particularly in the Senate, have been very mum about when they're going to do redistricting, but the feeling in this building is that it could be very soon. We know that they have maps completed, that they've been showing them to their members in both houses. That would, if they do redistricting now in the coming weeks, that would be much earlier than usual. They have until early next year to do them. If they If they pass that plan, though, that would, those would not be in effect for these upcoming recall elections. These maps would take effect for the fall of 2012. The effect of doing redistricting now is it would be, you know, right now Republicans control both houses and have the governor's office. If they pass redistricting now, they can put maps in place to their liking and ensure that they have them in place before potentially losing the Senate.
I see. Can you tell me about the amount of national interest and the amount of national money that is coming into the state of Wisconsin and where it might be going?
Yeah, there's tons of money flowing
into
the state. I mean, outside groups for both conservatives and liberals are running ads. There's this group, We Are Wisconsin, which is a union coalition. They've been raising a great deal of money. There have been a lot of ads from the Club for Growth Wisconsin, which is a conservative group. Now, those groups don't have to report all of their fundraising, so exactly where their money comes from or how much they're spending isn't as clear as what the candidates are raising. But, you know, this is a nationalized election. Both sides are very focused on it.
Only 13, we learned the last half hour, state legislators have been recalled nationwide in the 103 years since Oregon first adopted the recall process. 103 years, only 13. Why do you think all of this is going on in Wisconsin at this huge level?
Well, I mean, you know, this all stems from this fight over collective bargaining. I mean, that was a pretty significant change in what we were doing. Obviously, it prompted a lot of upset feelings among Democrats. The Senate Democrats left for 3 weeks, and one of their responses here was to launch these recalls. Obviously, the Republicans did it on the other side, saying that because the Senate Democrats weren't doing their job, they were going to recall them. You know, it's an unprecedented event in Wisconsin or the nation's history, but so were many of the events of the last 6 months. I mean, it's all just sort of a state that's in political turmoil right now.
Right. Have you seen any polls, Patrick, that show how these races are going?
We haven't seen a lot of polls. Daily Kos, the liberal website, did a poll that they released for three of the races, the races for Hopper, Kapanke, and Harsdorf, I believe. Those showed advantages for the Democrats in the Hopper and Kapanke races in a, I think the third race was Harsdorf. She was ahead, but, you know, a close race.
And what are your predictions? Do you think that these will be close races? Do you think that there could be a turn in the Senate?
I think that the race is very considerably. I mean, I think both sides would concede that the races for Hopper and Kapanke are that the Democrats have an advantage there. I think the Republicans are very optimistic about their chances to take Jim Holperin's seat. So, you know, the Democrats would have to net three seats. I think it's very hard to say if they could take the Senate. I think it would be an uphill battle to win that many seats, but, you know, everything's very hard to predict right now. There are a lot of things that have happened this year that I would not have been able to predict.
Yeah, it is hard to predict, isn't it? Plus, you throw in the fact that we are in the middle of summer, for heaven's sake. People are gone, many of them. They're vacationing. It's hard to imagine what the voter turnout's going to be.
Absolutely. And it's confusing because of the different dates of the recalls. I mean, think of somebody who lives in Green Bay, and you've got Rob Coles being recalled in that area and Dave Hansen being recalled. The elections are not on the same day. You know, you've got similar adjoining districts for senators. Let's see, Olson and Hopper, I guess they're both they're on the same schedule, but it can be a little confusing to the voters.
Right.
Really.
Well, don't worry. Pretty soon we'll be just putting up signs all the time. Vote on Wednesday.
Vote every Tuesday for the next 18
Exactly. Just vote on Tuesday. Let's go to phone calls. Phyllis from Oneida. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. I think that the Democratic Party has to do a lot more to get out the information as to who's the real Democrat and on the ballot. And I hope that they do more to get out the information so that people are not confused. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
That is a concern for some that one of these fake candidates could beat the true Democrat and then lock it up for Republicans at that stage. I think that's pretty unlikely to happen. All of the Democrats who are running, who are challenging Republicans, have some name ID and have a public profile. There are, a lot of sitting state representatives who are running against senators, or like in the Coles race, you've got Nancy Nussbaum, the former Brown County executive, running. So these are people with pretty high profiles, whereas these protest candidates are mostly unknowns. They seem to be raising very small amounts of money and doing little to no campaigning. But certainly that is a possibility, that an outside group could come in and spend a bunch of money promoting one of these fake candidates, build up their name ID, and then allow them to win this election with such an unknown amount of turnout.
Well, it'd be pretty darn difficult to do any campaigning, wouldn't it? What would you say?
As a fake candidate?
Yeah.
I guess you could position it any number of ways. If you wanted to be really cynical, you could say, you could promote yourself as the real Democrat, even though you're not. Or you could say, I'm the conservative alternative and appeal to Republicans. Because, we have open primaries, so Republicans can certainly vote in these elections, and they can vote for whichever candidate they want. So they could promote themselves as the more moderate or middle ground person. Or you could simply run a campaign, a negative campaign, criticizing the other person who's going to have a long voting record, and you can pick out a few things to criticize and count on people voting against your opponent rather than for you.
So are any of these candidates doing any of the aforementioned?
I have not seen any evidence of them doing any real campaigning at all.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike in Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hey, hello. Good morning. One of the things that the media is not covering is the issue of voting machines in Wisconsin. And we already had an incident in Waukesha County where the voting machine showed the votes, and the date stamp on the tape was for the previous day. So those votes were counted in with the rest of the ballots. So there are a couple of groups, and I can't recall the names right now, that are working for hand counted paper ballots. And I think this is an issue that is really gaining momentum, not only in Wisconsin, but across the country. They're starting to see the how these machines are not only not working, but they can be manipulated easy, and it's most of it has been documented by independent groups. So,
all right, Patrick.
I'm not familiar with the case he refers to in Waukesha County. I don't know what that's about, but there are often allegations that there's vote rigging with certain machines. But I would note that we just had the first statewide recount in 20 years in the Supreme Court race. That was a hand recount in many cases. You had a lot of observers from the public, from both campaigns, scrupulously going over how every one of 1.5 million votes were cast, and the ultimate results were different only on the margin from what the election was, the unofficial results a few days after the election. Obviously, in the Supreme Court race, there was this big to-do about the how many votes were counted out of Waukesha County in the immediate 36 hours after the election. But once, the end of that election week, we knew that David Prosser had won by about 7,000 votes. And after weeks of recounting, we found that he won by about 7,000 votes.
Well, what's the latest on that Supreme Court story? We haven't heard for a few days.
Regarding this incident over this altercation between the two justices?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've heard much in the last couple of days, because we don't know much that's new. The Sheriff's Department is investigating. The Judicial Commission is investigating. You've got these two versions. You've got Ann Walsh Bradley's version, and then the version that's been put out there by others on the court, that not by members of the court, but by other people who say they're familiar with the situation that she came at him.
Right. So still being investigated. Dawn in New London. Hi.
Hi, I was wondering what the chances would be that in these primary races with the fake Democratic candidates, how organized the Republicans could get in actually getting out to vote on them and then giving a poorer candidate choice in the recall election itself. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, that's we don't have any signs that there's an active campaign to do that, but you know, certainly that's a strategy that they could use, and we don't know what the turnout model is going to look like. So certainly people could show up at the polls, fully knowing that they're voting for the fake Democrat and doing it to make it better for the Republican candidate. We haven't seen evidence of that at this stage, that there's a concerted effort to do that.
More phone calls in a moment. We're talking about the recalls in the state of Wisconsin, all nine of them, and welcoming your phone calls this half hour for Patrick Marley, Madison Bureau reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Next hour, we're doing our July open line, so think about terrific program ideas you have for the 9 to 11 hour, and call in. John in Milwaukee, hi.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, John. Your phone is lousy. I'm sorry. We'll have to have you call back if you can. We just can't hear you. Dennis in Winona, Minnesota, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I've got a couple of things here. The first one is that according to the Republicans, it's all about the money. The state's broke. Yet I find it just utterly ridiculous that we're going to run fake candidates and force local governments that are facing a cut in state revenues to pick up these fake primaries. And so I don't understand what's going on with this. I mean, it's all been all about the money, according to them, yet we can do this. And I think you may be surprised about voter turnout, because I don't think anybody expected 1.5 million voters to show up for a Prosser, and it seems like what's coming out now, the people that decided to vote for him might have changed their minds with what's taking place on that court.
Patrick.
Yeah, as to the, you know, clearly the Republicans had to do a little calculus when they decided to run these fake candidates of, you know, they had the advantage of buying themselves an extra month to campaign. The downside is there might be a little public backlash viewing this as a cynical and costly move. I think they were a little surprised with how much public attention there was to the, you know, to questions about the approach that they were taking. But at the end, I think they faced that criticism before they had to finalize the deal. And they determined that they were better off buying that additional time, even if they took a little bit of backlash. What individual voters think about it, you know, I think remains to be seen. It does give Democrats an additional issue to campaign on, and some of the Republican candidates have distanced themselves from this plan, saying this was set up by the Republican Party. They didn't have a say in it. Now, we do know that they were all consulted prior to the plan, or at least told that this plan was going forward, and I guess we haven't seen anything that says that they made concerted efforts to stop it.
Thanks, Dennis, for your call. Jake in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. I guess I'm frustrated with nothing getting accomplished, and I wish there was a little bit more teeth in that process. And with the budget not getting accomplished by the deadline, I kind of wish there was some sort of criminal charges, say disorderly conduct, that they would have to serve after their term ends with no ability of pardons to make it personally at stake for them.
Who are you talking about?
Just anything when we're trying to get the federal government to do something or the state government, nobody wants to work together to accomplish anything, and this would kind of make it that would have to make concessions.
So you'd give them all fines?
Right. Well, I'd give them jail time so that they'd actually do something.
Ooh, Patrick.
Well, just to be clear, Wisconsin did pass its budget on time. It did it this legislative cycle. It did it last time. They got it done You know, prior to that, they often went weeks or months overdue, and the reason they got it done this time and last time is because one party controlled everything. This time the Republicans, last time the Democrats, so they were able to get it done in time. Obviously, we have a different situation in Minnesota, and we have gridlock at the federal level. You know, the only way you're going to be able to turn that into a crime or to make fines would be to pass it through the legislature, and I can assure you that that would be very difficult to pass because it would have to be approved by the very people who would face penalties if they were to do that.
I mean, you got a bit of a mess here, don't you? And you wonder how it will play out because the issues in many of these areas are the same. It's government spending, it's taxes, it's the public workforce. You've got Minnesota shut down, Wisconsin facing 9 recall elections. The federal government may be facing a shutdown in a couple weeks. What the heck? You know, figure out how to accomplish some of these goals rather than shut down the government or have to have 9 recall elections. I mean, something's kind of off, isn't it?
It's we live in tumultuous times. There's no question about that.
No question about that. Jake, thank you. Jeff in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. Regarding one person's comment about whether the fake Democrat might win the primary, especially if the Republican voters come out and vote for that fake Democrat in the primary. I think all the Democrats would have to do then for the general election is do a write-in of the genuine Democratic candidate. That's all that, you know, that's how you could handle that issue.
Okay, thanks, Jeff, very much for the call. John in Rock Springs. Hi, John.
Good morning. I'm kind of concerned that we're saying that these recall elections are only about collective bargaining. That is what motivated the teachers, probably, but there's a whole list of things that Scott Walker is implementing, expanded school vouchers, voter ID, consolidation of executive power, no-bid sale of public property, privatization of the UW. So I think it is not just about the collective bargaining issue.
I agree with you that now that we're into a recall election for these senators and there's a potential recall of the governor, that a whole host of issues are raised, and now candidates can campaign on any number of things, on, you know, school funding or any of the other issues you raised, just as the Republicans can counter with, you know, talking about how they think their agenda is better than the tax increases that the Democrats imposed when they were in charge 2 years ago. But I don't think that there's any way that any of these recalls would have come to a head if we hadn't had this colossal battle over collective bargaining. It's, you got to get about 20,000 signatures to recall a state senator. That is in 60 days. That is an incredibly high hurdle. And in normal times, the thought of recalling a senator over a vote is just, you know, not taken seriously because it doesn't seem like something that can be achieved. They were able to recall Gary George as he was about to face criminal charges. They were able to recall George Petak in the 90s over his change to vote on Miller Park. But otherwise, you know, people take tough votes all the time and they don't face serious recall efforts. This one was of a different nature, and people were able to get well over the signatures needed in half the time that, you know, in 30 days rather than 60 days. And I don't think any of that would have happened if we didn't have this collective bargaining issue.
The caller, one of the callers mentioned Republicans rallying their voters to vote for fake Democratic candidates. Let's talk about the ability of both sides to rally their constituents. Is there a side that has an advantage here? Republicans are, there are a lot of people who support what's happened in the state of Wisconsin as well. Are the Republicans likely to be able to gather the troops? Are the Democrats likely? Who's going to do a better job of that?
Yeah, well, who's going to do a better job, I think, remains to be seen. But I think both sides have a motivated base that they
right.
want to be able to activate. I mean, clearly, all of the teachers, all of the state workers, all of the local government workers are energized and motivated by this. I mean, we saw a protest at the Capitol that we haven't seen since the 1960s in Madison. I mean, there were tens of thousands of people, sometimes over 100,000 people, at the state Capitol for weeks on end. Those people are now out in districts trying to educate voters, knocking on doors, doing everything they do. But, you know, Republicans are also very organized. We've seen this Tea Party movement in the last couple of years. Those people remain engaged. The Republican Party and individual candidates have learned in Wisconsin how to tap into those networks and have been doing that. Republicans have always, and conservatives generally, have always done a good job of getting their voters to the polls. You know, you saw that in the Prosser election where you had a very close race, in a race that probably wouldn't have been much of a contest if we hadn't had this fight over collective bargaining. But in the end, the conservative forces got more of their voters to the polls than the liberal voters did.
Right. John, just quickly, we're almost out of time. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, my worry is that by putting these fake candidates in, the Democrats are going to lose the attention of the people because they're not going to want to go and vote twice. We're recalling this person. We already know who we want to vote for. Why is there a need for campaigning? We don't want the person that we want to recall in office, so we're going to vote for the candidate that ran against them.
All right, we have about 20 seconds. Patrick?
Yeah, I think that both sides have to worry about voter fatigue in a situation like this. That's probably true.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And it's only just begun. Patrick, thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Patrick Marley, thank you for your time. Madison Bureau reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And thanks earlier to Gary Moncrief, distinguished professor of political science at Boise State University. Thanks to Chrissy Pease for producing the hour. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for on-air production here in our downtown Milwaukee studios. We have news coming up from National Public Radio and then our open line. So put your thinking caps on and come up with brilliant suggestions, please, for programs between the hours of 9 and 11. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.